Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Okay, my friends, let me say hello to my friends all over the world who are listening to this show, most of them to the archived portion. I'm saying hello to my friends in Key West, Florida, who are listening to me over Blog Talk Radio directly on the Internet this evening, my friends in upstate New York, Utica, Syracuse, though most of them are at the Carrier Dome at Syracuse University watching the Syracuse-Indiana basketball game. My friends in Chicago, my friends in Des Moines, Iowa, Houston, Texas, Toronto, Canada, Navarra, Italy, Milan, Italy, Chamonix, France, Courmayeur, Italy, Jakarta, Indonesia, Beijing, and Papua New Guinea. Thank you for listening. Okay, talking show. Rarely does anyone call me. If you like, though, I would be happy to hear from you. The number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The call-in number is on the screen on your computer right now. A lot of things happened again this week. This world, boy, we're all screwed up here. We're screwed up in the United States. I think the whole world's screwed up. And I'm going to talk, the first couple of things I'm going to talk about are things that the media doesn't talk about. And I don't understand why, you know, with all their press, all their money, the national press, the TV stations, the magazines, don't pick up on these things. Let me start with what I consider a State Department boo-boo. And let me start this way. Yeah, boo-boo, like what your kids get when they're small, they get a little cut or something, it's a boo-boo. They fall, it's a boo-boo. Right now, our Congress has voted, the House of Representatives, to cut $40 billion from food stamps. They cut out already breakfast for school children. They cut out already milk for babies. Mothers who can't buy milk and the breast won't feed anymore. We were providing milk to these children. These are babies. These are infants, several months old, 3, 4, 2 months old. They cut that up. They're threatening to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, here's what happened. The United States is on a fiscal year, November 1st to September 30th. Okay? And here's what happened in September of this year at the end of the last fiscal year. Our embassies across the world spent $180,000, not a lot of money, in the last few weeks of September, though, on stocking up on alcohol for their embassies. For the whole year, the whole fiscal year, they spent $415,000. For example, $22,000 for wine at the Tokyo Embassy of the United States, almost $16,000 for bourbon and whiskey, in Moscow. Now, records have been kept only since 2008 on this type of spending. Alcohol for the embassies, generally for parties they throw. Understand, they're spending this money. I don't care if it's $4. Where they're taking milk away from babies, food stamps, 45 million people in this country are on food stamps, and they're cutting back the food stamp allotments. They're taking meals from kids in school. The program was there because the parents don't feed them properly. They want to cut the old Social Security, Medicare. They don't want Obamacare, and what do? They spend this money. In 2008, they spent $118,000. Why in 2012 did it go up, you know, almost 400% to $415,000? One of the reasons is whatever the budget is for alcohol, they must spend it because they can't carry it over into the new fiscal year. And if they don't spend it, then when the budget's redone, somebody's going to say, well, you didn't spend it all last year, so you do not need as much as you're asking for now. Something's wrong when we have all the problems I've spelled out. And we approve, the House of Representatives, who approves money in this country, we approve, and we screw those in this country who cannot do without, okay? We forced them to have cost of living cuts, these people. I'm talking about us, you and me, food stamps again, breakfast for children, milk for babies, and so forth. And yet we let the adults go on and spend $415,000 for parties at which alcohol is served around the world. $400,000 isn't a lot of money, especially when compared to our $17 trillion debt. But I still think it's wrong and it shouldn't be done. And look, when this $180,000 was spent in September, we were just about 2 weeks away from the government shutdown. Moving on. We hear that Japan and China are having an argument, all right, over a bunch of islands called the Senkaku Islands. These islands are somewhere between China and Japan. Japan has claimed ownership of them since 1895. China never said a word. They didn't care until this past year. China said, my property. Japan says, screw you. It's been ours since 1895. Well, things got a little heated this past week. China says no one can fly over this island and the waters unless they first file a plane with us and we give permission. So the United States, we went in and flew a couple of bombers through without getting permission. The Japanese are now doing it, the South Koreans. China's sending up warplanes to meet these planes, not doing anything. But it's getting sensitive, apparently. What's it all about? No one tells us what this is all about. I'm going to tell you what this is all about now. But I don't understand why we don't hear this, because it makes more sense why this is happening. Who the hell's going to fight over a couple of rocks in the ocean? There's more to it. You will recall that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, went to war against us, World War II, because President Roosevelt and the United States Congress, and this was their business, had decided to cut off most of Japan's oil supply. Japan can't live without oil. No country can. And we were cutting off their supply lines. And, you know, I'm Japanese. They said, well, screw you. We got to go to war. We go to war over this issue. No one expecting the war to last that long, by the way. The Japanese thought this war would be over in 2 weeks and the oil problem would be resolved. It was not. Okay, now let me get specific. The Senkaku Islands, okay? It's over oil. That's the real cause of the dispute. China is the biggest energy consumer in the world. They use the most oil and gas. They need oil. They have none of their own. They import it all. Well, we find out that there's oil on the Senkaku Islands and in the oceans around the islands. There's a lot of oil. The experts say as much oil as Saudi Arabia has had over the years. So China wants the oil. No problem. They want the oil, and apparently they may be willing to go to war for that oil. In the meantime, China has not had a navy. Hear what I'm saying. China has not had a navy since sometime in the 1500s, over 500 years ago. What is China doing today? They are building a navy. They're building all kinds of warships and putting them in the waters because they're going to protect that oil around the Senkaku Islands, and they're going to cut off anyone else from going through with boats or airplanes around these islands because these are their islands, they say. Whether they are or not is immaterial. They're getting ready for armed conflict. They haven't had a navy since the 1500s. They're developing one now. And as they're doing it, we in the United States, remember, we have an obligation to defend Japan, a written treaty. If Japan gets attacked by China, we got to go step in on behalf of Japan. We're going to be involved in this conflict. So we have to be concerned. We have to be concerned. And the problem is, they're building a new navy. There are no monies allocated for new naval ships for the Pacific. Whatever we're doing, we've cut our military budgets. Whatever we're, and I'm saying we should increase them. I think we should move the money around. We're doing things to protect Europe. We are not putting much money, if any, into Pacific protection, especially with Navy vessels. So China's building the new Navy fleet while we're not doing anything. And there's a good possibility, I'm not saying probability yet, that we could have to go to war over the Senkaku Islands. Now, while all this is going on, remember the Falkland Islands down off the coast of Argentina? Falkland Islands. I quite frankly could not understand why 30 years ago Margaret Thatcher had Great Britain go to war with Argentina over these islands. It didn't make sense. You know, this was a giant against a pygmy. And it took very little time for Great Britain to win the war and beat the hell out of Argentina, and Argentina dropped their claims to the Falkland Islands. That was 30 years ago. Just was discovered recently in the last several years that there's oil on the Falkland Islands, just like the problem with Senkaku. Everybody wants the oil. Everyone wants the oil. They started drilling in 2010, only 3 years ago, for the oil. Argentina wants the oil. They want the money that comes from it and everything else. And so they're saying to Great Britain, these are our islands, not yours. And the problem is the Great Britain of today is not the Great Britain of 30 years ago. Great Britain today does not have the military forces sufficient to wage a war over the Falkland Islands. This is what the experts think. So Argentina's taking a shot at getting control of this oil because they're depending on the inability of Great Britain to go to war as Margaret Thatcher did 30 years ago. I want to talk about the Catholic Church now. I am a Catholic. I'm a fallen away Catholic. I think my church is screwed up. I'm going to tell you a story here. It's about a woman, and she was in a hospital, Mercy Health Hospital in Muskegon. She was pregnant. Her claim is she was denied medical treatment 3 times. What happened is this. She was pregnant 18 weeks. That's half of the period of pregnancy. It's what, 37 weeks to have a baby is the term? She's only gone 18 weeks, 4.5 months. That's all. The water broke. She's bleeding profusely when she gets to the hospital. She's in great pain. The hospital says, not yet, go home. She came back 3 times, and the hospital didn't take care of her. They failed to tell her, however, and this is the problem, okay? They failed, and this was the only hospital, by the way, within a half mile of her home. They failed to tell her. And, you know, now the hospital's got to tell us everything. You see all these papers they give us when we go for surgery or anything. They give you a ton of papers. You don't even read them. You sign them to say, I know everything you told me. I'm not worrying about it. They did not tell her that there was little chance of successfully continuing the pregnancy. They did not tell her that if the pregnancy was not terminated immediately in the hospital, her health was at risk. She could not continue the pregnancy if her water had broken at 4.5 months. She's bleeding profusely, and she's in great pain. They just simply sent her home. And each time she came back with more blood and more pain. The end result was the baby finally was born. 4.5 months, and the baby died within an hour or two after birth. No one survives at 4.5 months, I don't think. The mother, she almost died. She almost died. Now, there's a lawsuit, obviously. The American Civil Liberties Union is representing this woman, and there should be a lawsuit, because Catholic hospitals, in my opinion, are doing the wrong thing. Let me explain why, from my perspective. Catholic hospitals are run by the rules set forth by the bishops in the United States. You've heard of it, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in the last 2 years, I had never even heard of this organization. Most people had not in the United States. In the last 2 years, they've gone with the religious right of the Republican Party, and they're taking all kinds of positions. They want all kinds of things done with laws that isn't necessarily what their people want or should have, and do I think the church is correct? The problem here, my friends, is one of religion over medicine. It's the abortion issue again. And when you come up with the abortion issue, you come up with the birth control issue. The bishops are claiming, they've also brought lawsuits, if you recall, against Obamacare. That has to do with hospitals too, also. And the bishops claim religious discrimination if their hospitals must provide abortion or birth control to patients, that it's against their religion. Well, I want to say something. These hospitals today employ thousands of people. I can't believe they're all Catholics. I can't believe half of them are Catholics. I can't believe a third of them are Catholics. I mean, you got Jews, Protestants, Episcopalians, Muslims, everybody's working in the hospitals. Why should they have the hospital who is Catholic telling them how their insurance plan should be and how they should operate their lives? It should be an issue of choice on their part. Then comes the situation, specifically with this woman I'm talking about. If this woman's pregnancy was terminated, they would have given her a D&C at 4.5 months, cleaned her out. That's abortion in the church's eyes. And it is abortion. Who am I to say it isn't? But that woman, I don't know what her religion was, but suppose she wasn't a Catholic. Suppose she was the Jew, the Protestant, the Episcopalian, or the Muslim woman. Why should the rules of the Catholic Church govern what's going to happen to her in the hospital when she's not even of their faith? She's paying for services to be rendered, and she can die if they don't do it properly and effectively. They're discriminating against her somehow. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. A woman cannot have, in a hospital, for medical reasons, a pregnancy terminated. A young lady or a person raped who is pregnant because of the rapist cannot have, in a Catholic hospital, that pregnancy terminated. Your 14 or 15-year-old daughter who has been raped must carry the fetus 9 months and deliver a child because that's the church's rule. She had no choice when she got raped, and she can't have an abortion, and she has to be burdened at an early age with a child and all the problems that go with it over the course of her lifetime. I had a practical situation with this occur to me personally, my wife and I. It's back in 1964-65. My wife was pregnant for the fifth time. She 2 months into the pregnancy, that's all, and her water broke. She's bleeding. We rushed to the hospital. I remember it distinctly. It was a Sunday morning. Her OBGYN is my next door neighbor, Dr. Shinantri, Joe Shinantri. He comes to the hospital, and he comes out and tells us the fetus is dead. No question about it. The pregnancy didn't take, but there was something there, and when it comes out, it's going to be black. Right? I said, okay. And he says, then we'll do a D&C when it starts coming out. I says, well, if you know all this, why don't you do a D&C now? And the suffering my wife's going through. He said, we can't. Lewis, this is a Catholic hospital. I'm a Catholic doctor. This is against the rules of the Catholic Church. I used to go to church in those days. This isn't why I fell away from the church, though. I said, I don't give a good goddamn, excuse me for swearing, my friends. I don't care about the church rule. I care about my wife in there who's suffering, could die. We're a family of four other children. This can't be. I don't understand. And I ranted and I raved, and it did me no good. We had to wait 3 hours till my wife passed through her cervix a tiny black piece of something. It wasn't as big as my small fingernail. The doctor came out and said, oh, we can do a D&C now because a little piece of this black thing came out, and he described it to me. So this was the body giving birth to whatever was there. It was starting. He could go in and do the DNC. No way, Jose. Not the way to run a hospital. Not the way to provide medical care. The Catholic Church is getting their noses where it does not belong, and they're getting themselves in the way of the health of those who are in the hospital as patients. Let me tell you something. The Bible, we all follow it or try to. The Muslims have the Quran, same thing. The problem is men over the years have interpreted what God said or what is said in the Bible and what is said in the Quran. And in doing so, they've messed everything up. So many of the church rules we have today, I do not know, and no one knows if God would have said this is what he meant. Who are these men? And I mean this. Who are these men to interpret God's word? We can all read it and understand it and say this is what he meant and come up with these rules, and we'll talk more about this shortly in another portion of this show. That's the story. I think the bishops got their nose in the wrong place again. Bad situation. Wrong. And that's it. What else can I say? Now let me talk about the Pope, Pope Francis. He issued a statement this week. It was called a mission statement for his papacy. Mission statement for his papacy, just last Tuesday. And it outlined what the church and papacy are going to do. He claims he's reforming the church and papacy. The church from now on are going to definitely help the poor and the oppressed. He called this whole thing the joy of the gospel. But he said no in two instances. He says no to abortion, non-negotiable. The issue of abortion is non-negotiable. And he also said a woman's ordination, a woman becoming a priest, is non-negotiable. Okay, we've already talked about abortion. The woman's ordination, I don't understand. The Bible says nothing on this. This is the man interpretation of men over the centuries. Jesus had 12 apostles. They were all men. And based on that, the church says, if he had all men as apostles, must be he didn't want a woman to be an apostle. That simple. So women cannot be priests. Women cannot be, I don't understand this. We're going to have a women president shortly. Great Britain has had a prime minister, Margaret Thatcher. Brazil presently has a female prime minister. CEOs of major international corporations today are prime ministers. Germany's got Angela Merkel, who I don't like. I think she's a nut, but she's a woman. Why not? This is discrimination. And they say, no, the best you can do if you're a woman is become a nun. I think it's wrong. I know the nuns organization's going to fight them like hell. They have been for years over this issue. And on the abortion issue, it's the old story. They're sticking strong on man's interpretation of what is said in the Bible. That's all. Very simple. I was not for Pope Francis when he was elected pope, because I thought he came from a little country, Argentina, but he understood taking care of the poor. How would he understand our problems here? Abortion, gay marriage, things like that. But I've got to tell you, I'm impressed since. He seems to be really a man, truly a man of God. I am impressed with him. I support him. I think he's going to regenerate my church. He's wrong, though, on the abortion and women's ordination issues. Okay, now we're going to go to Detroit. Today, this morning, you know, Detroit's in bankruptcy. This is a big deal. Major United States city, at one time the fifth largest city in the United States. Great money, all the automobile plants, manufacturing plants located in the Detroit area. They filed for bankruptcy, and certain people said Detroit can't go bankrupt. It's against the rules or against the law. So there's been a 9-day trial, which ended this morning, before a bankruptcy judge who said this bankruptcy is filed is valid. Detroit has the right to file for bankruptcy protection. This matter is going to proceed. Now, I just want to chat momentarily about the impact, the fallout, this bankruptcy that Detroit has filed is going to have on other cities and corporations. Because one of the ways they're going to reduce Detroit's obligation, everything's on the table in a bankruptcy. There are pensions. Policemen have been retired 20, 30 years. Policemen, firemen, civil servants who worked their whole lives for the city and earned their pension. And now they're not going to get their pension can be cut off completely. It'll probably be reduced to 5 to 10%. Can you imagine somebody 75 or 85 years old having their pension taken away from them? In many instances, that's only what they have to live on. Even worse, it was negotiated between the unions and the cities. We're talking over the course of the last 50, 70 years that health plans would be given as part of the retirement package to Detroit's former employees. They'd have paid up health plans. Those are going to go by the board. I'm going to tell you right now, they can go completely or down to 5 or 10%. Bad, especially for people who are senior citizens now. This is the beginning. If Detroit gets away with it, and I believe they're going to, I understand how the bankruptcy law works, then other cities will do it. But it won't stop there. Now we have corporate America. They're having a rough time, not that bad. And say, hey, you know, if we go into bankruptcy, we can be like Chrysler. We'll get reworked and come out of the bankruptcy and be fine. And look, we don't have to pay, we pay 20 cents on the dollar to our creditors. And they'll do the same thing, corporate America, and screw their employees who earn pensions and these hospital benefits by going through that procedure. Now, which brings me, I get upset. I get upset with things. I get upset, for example, with banks because I think they screwed all of us with the mortgage situation, but they never paid. No one's ever gone to jail, et cetera. But let's look at General Motors for a moment. General Motors in Detroit benefited greatly from the people of the United States. You recall that in 2008 or 2009, they were on the verge of bankruptcy, and the United States government gave them $50 billion of our taxpayer money. So I've talked about this several times, including last week. What bothers me about the deal is not the fact we're going to get $41 billion back and not $50. What bothers me is last June, the Mexican government announced, General Motors did not have the guts to do it, that General Motors was going to spend $670 million in Mexico. General Motors was going to build a new plant in Mexico. Can you imagine? All our jobs went overseas or to Mexico. We need the plants here. We need manufacturing jobs. We gave these idiots $50 billion. They survived. They're a going concern, and they're going to build a new plant in Mexico, and the rest of the monies were going to go to upgrade the plants they already had in Mexico. Not right. Something's wrong here. And let's talk about Silvio Berlusconi. Silvio Berlusconi, let me tell you very quickly, he was former prime minister, big politician in Italy, expelled from the Senate this past week. He was three times former prime minister. He spent 20 years in charge of Italian politics. He's in a bad way because his trial for tax fraud was based upon a nothing situation. The 17-year-old girl is another question. The point I want to make to you, the opposition party is in control of the government and the courts. From what I can gather from my friends in Italy, he got a very poor deal. I don't think this is the last we have heard of Silvio Berlusconi. I want to say also, something that I try to say most weeks because I think it's very important and we don't think of it enough. There is one school shooting every 11 days in the United States. Did you hear me? One school shooting every 11 days in the United States. When are we going to learn? When are we going to do something about it? I want to thank you for joining me again this week. I enjoyed doing the show. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Remember, I got a book out there that came out 2 weeks ago, The World Upside Down by Louis Patron. You can find it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. It's an e-book, and it's also in soft cover paperback. You'll enjoy it if you buy it. Okay, nice talking to you again. I'll talk with you next week.